This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
All you august atheists and agnostics and other freethinkers, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. I don't know how august I am. It makes me sound like I have white hair. But in any event, I've been called the friendly atheist of the airwaves. This show, Free Thought Radio, is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. Not Freedom For. We support Freedom For Religion, but we are the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the nation's largest organizations of people who are, in fact, free from religion. Atheists, agnostics, skeptics, non-theists.
And we work also to keep the government free from religion, which is what is required by the Constitution and its First Amendment.
Exactly.
And we're happy to be featuring on today's show Joan Connor, who is Dean Emerita of the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism.
Joan Connor is editor of a book called The Atheist's Bible, an illustrious collection of irreverent thoughts.
And irreverent thoughts are what we're all about and what we love to hear around here.
So stay tuned. We'll talk with Joan on the second half of our show today about some of her favorite irreverent quotes. And a little bit, we'll talk about those August freethinkers born in the month of August. We like to briefly feature these famous freethinkers because one of the greatest biases against the non-religion in America, non-religious society in America, is this notion that atheists and agnostics have contributed nothing to culture, music, art, literature, and social progress. So our August Freethinkers Almanac, a little bit later, will bust some of those myths.
And now we'd like to take a moment to play a clip from President Barack Obama's recent interview. It was July 23rd with Terry Moran on Nightline ABC TV. And it was a far-reaching interview, but at one point, Moran asked Obama a personal question about his religious faith or how he was holding up, and here's what the president said.
I had a habit of praying every night before I go to bed. I pray all the time now because I've got a lot of stuff on my plate, and I need guidance all the time. My faith and neighborhood initiative director, Joshua Du Bois, he has a devotional that he sends to me on my BlackBerry each day. That's how I start my morning. It's got a passage of scripture, in some cases quotes from other faiths to reflect on.
Well, of course, we do support the right of anyone, including the president, to believe as they like about religion, to take any solace they want from prayer, and you know, we're offered that free exercise clause, as well as the establishment clause. But I was a little bit dismayed for several reasons. And of course, I do agree the president has a lot on his plate, and nobody's going to argue with that. And he does need guidance from, I think, rational minds. I mean, does he really need to have divine guidance? And his religious aide, whom he cites, you know, is reading the inspirational quotes from his BlackBerry. Well, this was the aide that Obama appointed to head what we think is an inappropriate office in the White House.
That George Bush set up.
That George Bush set up, and Obama's just continuing, called the Faith-Based Office. And it's really the same thing. President Bush called it the Office of Faith-Based and Community Initiatives, and Obama has renamed it the Office of Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnerships, but it's the same thing. And, you know, so that just doesn't set right.
It looks like we now have, at taxpayer expense, a paid chaplain to the president in the White House who's feeding him these daily devotional quotes. You know, even if the faith-based office were a legitimate thing to do, is it his business then to be acting as a sort of spiritual counselor? He is something of a right-wing Pentecostal type guy to Obama. And this whole idea that the harder things get, the more we need to pray, as you were saying, we actually need guidance from secular minds. It's like if I were getting on an airplane and I saw one of the pilots praying, I would get right back off again.
Right. It doesn't really inspire confidence, and it makes you, I mean, everyone has great sympathy for the situation that the president finds himself in with the economy and so on. And I have to put in a kind word, you know, I was very pleased with Obama's remarks on the Gates issue. I just say that personally. He's getting a lot of flack for that. I'm not trying to beat up on the president, but gee, it seems like he could find better inspiration. And in fact, why doesn't he open up the Atheist Bible? And that is our upcoming guest, Joan Connor's compilation of what she calls an illustrious collection of irreverent thoughts. I mean, there's all kinds of inspirational thoughts that don't necessarily mean that you're giving up your mind to some supernatural deity.
And what in the world does the Bible have to say that's relevant to today? It's an outdated, primitive book by ancient people who believed in spooks and heavens.
And slavery.
And talking snakes and that women should keep silent. And why in the world revere something like that? Why not revere the illustrious thoughts of those who are thinking about real ideas in the real world?
So, I don't know. Maybe we need to compile a book of inspirational free thought quotes that have to do with dealing with the real world.
And send it to Obama, right?
Right, or, you know, get on that BlackBerry. And so this is the production of the Freedom from Religion Foundation, Free Thought Radio. And I'm Annie Laura Gaylor with Dan Barker.
And if you're a first-time listener, we've got a lot of new listeners now since our recent lawsuits we'll talk about. We are radio for the rest of us, irreverent music, thoughts, and ideas, and interviews. And I'm Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. We are co-hosts. We'll be back in a moment to take a quick look at those August Freethinkers born this month. We'll talk with Joan Conneter, editor of the delightful book, The Atheist's Bible, an illustrious collection of irreverent thoughts.
Hi, my name is V. Tran. I'm from Chicago, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Margaret Sanger's motto was, "No gods, no masters." This is Free Thought Radio.
That's a little bit of Clair de Lune, composed by Claude Debussy. He was born in the month of August. He was born on August the 22nd, 1862. He had a secular funeral and was considered entirely non-religious. And that's a sneak preview of this segment's take. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor for Free Thought Radio. In a few minutes, we'll be speaking with the longtime award-winning journalist Joan Connor about her book, The Atheist's Bible, a collection of irreverent thoughts. Some of the freethinkers featured in her book have birthdays in August, so let's bring on this month's Freethinkers Almanac.
First, I want to look at the writers who rejected religion who were born in the month of August, and they include Herman Melville, who was born August 1st, today, 1819. He left Calvinism for the Church of All Souls, that's Unitarian. Poet Rupert Brooke, who was born August 3rd, 1887, a member of the Fabian Society, who died tragically during World War I and whose wartime poems became celebrated in England. And he's written a lovely poem called Heaven, and I think we'll have time at the end of this segment for Dan to read that. And if not, you can check it out at FFRF's website.
It's called Heaven. On August the 4th, 1792, Percy Bysshe Shelley, or is it Bysshe? Do you know how to pronounce
it? I do not.
B-Y-S-S-H-E. Percy Bysshe Shelley, one of atheism's most passionate advocates, was born. As an 18-year-old, Shelley was expelled from Oxford University College for writing a book called The Necessity of Atheism. That was in 1811. A pamphlet which opens, "There is no God." And we quote Shelley at our website, and Joan Connor, who we will be interviewing later in today's show, she quotes her in her collection.
She quotes him.
she quotes him in her collection, saying this, "If ignorance of nature gave birth to gods, knowledge of nature is made for their destruction." That also comes from The Necessity of Atheism. Born on August the 30th, 1797, was Mary Godwin, who later married Shelley. This daughter of the non-believers Mary Wollstonecraft and William Godwin went on to write the classic horror tale, Frankenstein.
And there have been more than 50 movies that has been made into.
That's scary.
Guy de Maupassant was born on August 5th, 1850, in France, of course, and he was considered a master of the short story. He was a colleague of other irreverent writers, including Gustave Flaubert, Emile Zola, and Ivan Turgenev. And among Guy de Maupassant's 300 stories was one called The Inn, and it's considered a predecessor of Stephen King's The Shining.
Other skeptical writers include Alfred Tennyson, born August the 6th, some say it was August the 5th, in 1809, who was at most pantheistic. In his poem, Herald, he wrote, "In our windy world, what's up is faith. What's down is heresy."
John Galsworthy was born August 14th, 1867, friend of another freethinker, Joseph Conrad. Galsworthy is best known for the Forsyte Saga, which shocked would-be church censors. It dealt with marital rape. He won the Nobel for Literature in 1932, and he said, "Humanism is the creed of those who believe that in the circle of enwrapping mystery, men's fates are in their own hands, a faith for modern man and woman that is becoming the only possible faith."
And let's not forget Gene Roddenberry, the creator of Star Trek. He was born August the 19th, 1921. And this list has sounded somewhat male-dominated, so let's talk about two women born at the end of August on what is Women's Equality Day, August the 26th, the anniversary of the adoption of the suffrage amendment. They are the Pulitzer Prize-winning dramatist Zona Gale, born in 1874, who was friends with free-thinking reformers Jane Addams and Charlotte Perkins Gilman, and with the unorthodox Robert La Follette. She worked for women's suffrage, for peace, and for the Progressive Party. And Barbara Ehrenreich, born in 1941 in Montana, who proudly described herself as coming back from the race of none. It's coming from the race of none. That's the race that she came from, none being non-believers. The kind of people, she said, who do not believe, do not carry on traditions. Goethe was born August the 28th. 1749, Germany's most famous poet. At most, Goethe was a pantheist, inspired by Christopher Marlowe, another skeptic, who wrote the play Faust, to publish his most famous play on the same subject. From part one, scene nine, Goethe wrote, "The church alone, beyond all question, has for ill-gotten gains the right digestion."
Cute line. Born on August 28th in the year 1828 was the great Russian novelist Leo Tolstoy. Although he moved from outright skepticism to a more mystic viewpoint in his 40s, Tolstoy denounced the corrupt Orthodox Church of Russia as an impenetrable forest of stupidity and a conscious deception that serves as a means for one part of the people to govern the other. He did not consider Jesus to be supernatural, although he embraced what he considered Jesus' messages of compassion. Tolstoy was excommunicated from the church in 1901.
And we don't want to give short shrift to James Randi, the magician, born August 7, 1928.
Happy birthday, James.
Felix Adler was born August the 13th, 1851, founder of the Society for Ethical Culture. And finally, the August 11th birthday in 1833 of 19th century's most influential and beloved infidel, the great Robert G. Ingersoll. He was an attorney, an eloquent orator. His works are collected in 12 volumes, known as the Dresden Edition. He fearlessly took on superstition, religion, and government, and made many converts to reason.
And I think we do have time for Dan to read this poem. It's one of my favorite by Rupert Brooke. It's called Heaven.
Heaven by Rupert Brooke. Fish, fly replete in depth of June, dawdling away their watery noon, ponder deep wisdom, dark or clear, each secret fishy hope or fear. Fish say they have their stream and pond, but is there anything beyond? This life cannot be all, they swear, for how unpleasant if it were. One may not doubt that somehow good shall come of water and of mud. And sure, the reverent eye must see a purpose in liquidity. We darkly know, by faith we cry, the future is not wholly dry, mud unto mud. Death eddies near. Not here the appointed end, not here, but somewhere, beyond space and time, is wetter water, slimier slime. And there, they trust, there swimmeth one who swam ere rivers were begun, immense, of fishy form and mind, squamous, omnipotent, and kind. And under that almighty fin, the littlest fish may enter in. Oh, never fly conceals a hook, fish say in the eternal brook. But more than mundane weeds are there, and mud, celestially fair. Fat caterpillars drift around, and paradisal grubs are found, unfading moths, immortal flies, and the worm that never dies. And in that heaven of all their wish, there shall be no more land, say fish.
And that was Rupert Brooke's Heaven from 1913. And so thanks for reading that, Dan. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. And you can look up more about the people featured in the Freethinker's Almanac in our Free Thought of the Day at FFRF.org. We'll be back in a few minutes to talk with Joan Connor, editor of The Atheist Bible, an illustrious collection of irreverent thoughts.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. Speaking freely, thinking freely. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. Free Thought Radio is back.
And we have on the phone with us today Joan Connor. That's spelled K-O-N-N-E-R. Joan Connor is a longtime award-winning journalist in television and in print. Her most recent TV production was called The Mystery of Love. This was a two-hour documentary special that ran on public television in December of 2006. Joan Connor served for 9 years as the dean of the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism, where she introduced and taught the course Covering Ideas. That sounds like a fun course to take, doesn't it? Did they have that in your school, your journalism school, any longer?
No.
Nothing like that? Joan Connor is now Professor Emerita and Dean Emerita of the school.
Welcome to Free Thought Radio, Professor Connor.
Thank you for inviting me.
And we wanted to talk about the book that you compiled, Book of Quotes, The Atheist's Bible, an illustrious collection of irreverent thoughts. And first we wanted to ask you how you came to work on the book.
The idea descended on me on Memorial Day weekend in about 2003, I think it was. The Atheist's Bible just popped into my head as a joke, and it landed like a commandment. I said to myself, that's a book.
You were inspired?
I was inspired and reactive, both. Reactive to the political climate at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a journalist, and all around me I found God in the public dialogue. In journalism, covering religion used to be what they called a back-of-the-book beat, and it was a sleepy beat. But suddenly, in the era of right-wing politics rising, we seemed to see God holding forth on the courthouse steps every day in all kinds of rulings interfering with our public and secular dialogue. And I suppose that it was working on me, as it was on some others, to react to it. And it came in the form of this title. And I thought of a collection of quotes, first at a humorous collection of quotes. But as time went on and I started to read more deeply on the subject and research it, I realized it had a long, distinguished history. And atheism itself was in the push to the margins of society. That, in fact, atheists may be one of the most discriminated against minorities in the country.
Well,
in any case, I dropped the project for 2 years because that's when I got funding, finally, after several years, for a program on love, which I had been trying to raise funds for. And then went back to it in 2005.
But atheists also have fallen in love. So we,
pardon?
Atheists also fall in love, don't we?
Of course. Of course, but they were different subjects.
Yeah,
I was trying to pursue the many different manifestations of love in our lives, some of which we don't give full importance to. Romance seems so dominant in the public and popular culture that things like friendship and brotherly love and love of nature and love of thy neighbor just seem to fall into the background. Family love, love of pets. And then, of course, exploring further, I came upon the discovery of some other more esoteric kinds of love, things we don't think of as love, like love of war. And there is love of war.
Oh, there sure is.
There is.
So when you had completed that documentary, which I haven't seen, but I will have to look it up. It sounds fascinating. Then you went back to compiling. When did you decide you were going to do a book of quotations?
I decided when that project was done that I was going to go back and not just take a funny, sardonic, you know, a flippant look at atheism, but to explore what I now call soundbite history. And it was a wonderful exploration.
Yeah, how did you narrow it down? There's so many good quotations out there.
Well, that's the editing process. In the course of doing it, I thought the Atheist Bible was itself a light title, a paradoxical title, and the formulation of the book and the form of it is a kind of parody of not only the Bible but other religious writings.
Well, you have a chapter in there called the Book of Mark. Can you tell our listeners what that is?
Well, that is a book of the quotations of Mark Twain, who was a very clever and witty atheist. And the Book of Mark, of course, is a takeoff of the Book of Mark from the Bible.
And the Gospel.
And Mark Twain's quotes are delightful.
Well, the first quote in that chapter is one that we have been putting up on bus signs. Faith is believing what you know ain't so.
Right. He says it. He says it with great wit and great pith and great insight and good writing.
Well, I would call his words immortal.
Yeah.
Now,
right.
I noticed that my co-host, Dan Barker, is quoted in the Atheist Bible. And in fact, I bought this book for Dan as a winter solstice present surprise. I'm not sure what you quoted him saying, but you have him in here.
On page 66, no,
so should,
on
the...
Oh, how funny you should know.
So, Dan,
right off the bat,
you should read your own quotation here.
Please read it.
Want me to read it? Where is it? Page 66?
You said it.
Oh, okay. You believe in a book which has talking animals, wizards, witches, demons, sticks turning into snakes, food falling from the sky, people walking on water, all sorts of magical, absurd, primitive stories. And you say that I am the one who's mentally ill?
It's a wonderful quote.
And you also have a book of Bertrand, a book of George. Who's George?
The book of George is George Santayana. One of the great philosophers.
Yes.
The book of Thomas?
The book of Thomas is Thomas Paine.
Yeah.
Of course, one of the brimstone early American atheists.
And you have...
There's a book also of, I have to say, since I'm a reporter... And I wasn't, I'm not an advocate of atheism, only of fairness in the dialogue. I have a chapter called The Brimstone Chronicles, in which it's shown that atheists can also be irrational.
Hmm. And then
I don't
funny.
Know if you want to bring that up on this program.
Well, then funny, too, you have the Book of Woody Allen quotes, which are comedic.
And you have the Book of Robert. Would you want to talk about who that was?
Robert Ingersoll, who was one of the most forceful atheists of his time. And I have to flip to
tell you,
in advance you said I should pick some of my favorite quotes, and I realized how many I had, that it's hard to...
One of my favorite lines of Robert Ingersoll is, with soap, baptism is a good thing.
I love that, too. Yeah. In nature, there are neither rewards nor punishments. There are consequences.
I think that quote is actually up at Disney World's Epcot Center.
Really?
That sign is actually on the wall up there.
Yeah, they must not have known who they were putting up on the wall.
They must not have.
No, I like the introduction, the quote that you chose, one of them. Is John Stuart Mill saying, the world would be astonished if it knew how great a proportion of its brightest ornaments, of those most distinguished even in popular estimation for wisdom and virtue, are complete skeptics in religion. And I've always loved that quote, and I've always thought that was so true. And did you find that yourself when you were researching famous freethinkers, how illustrious so many of them were?
I did. And I was astonished that some are well-known, you know, some of the quotes are well-known and some of the people are well-known atheists, but it is astonishing to find out how many people are skeptics, how many people are honest doubters, and how many people are believers in atheism. I mean, without question, there are all those gradations of belief. In a way, I hate to say this on this program, atheism itself is a belief, because I think that the human being, as we know, is very limited and very imperfect, and there's very little we know for sure when it comes to those metaphysical and cosmic questions.
Well, if it is a belief, and some of us might quibble with that, it is a very illustrious belief, according to your book.
It is. But also, one must recognize, since I'm working on another book that carries the thought a little further, we also must recognize that science and reason, which has done so very much for the world and for the progress of humanity, is itself a limited system that doesn't take into account many things, the subjective reality being one of them.
Well, by definition, that's what science is. Science is limited,
by definition.
Limited to the natural world.
I mean, I would not put myself in the position of either degrading or denying science as probably the breakthrough of the modern mind and modern culture. But there is so much outside its circle of understanding that we have to look for another paradigm that's perhaps more inclusive, that includes reason, but also takes into account subjectivity.
I call it jazz music. I play in jazz trios all the time.
There you have it.
So there we go.
Well, we want
there you have it. I mean, that's a perfect expression of it.
I am Annie Laurie Gale. I'm here with Dan Barker. We're talking with Joan Connor, who is a distinguished journalist and author of The Atheist's Bible. And when we come back, we want to talk about a book of her own, which has quotes from people like Emma Goldman, Susan B. Anthony, Marlene Dietrich, Margaret Sanger. That'll be fun. We'll be right back.
Oh, hi. My name's Walt, and I'm from just east of Buffalo, New York. I'm on Free Thought Radio. Isn't that great?
As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
So many gods, so many creeds, so many paths that wind and wind, when just the art of being kind is all this sad world needs.
Who was that again, Dan?
Ella Wheeler Wilcox.
Ella Wheeler Wilcox, the Wisconsin poet. I'm Annie Laurie Gale with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio, and we're back with our guest, Joan Connor. She's editor of The Atheist's Bible, an illustrious collection of irreverent thoughts, also dean emerita of the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism. And we were talking before the break about some of your favorite poems, or some of your favorite quotations from the book.
Right. Well, one of the discoveries was how much humor there is in this subject. And I'll start with a quote from Alfred North Whitehead, who said, "The total absence of humor from the Bible is one of the most singular things in all of literature." Hmm. And there is in the book a chapter called The Book of Laughter, which I greatly treasure. H.L. Mencken, the creator, a definition, a comedian whose audience is afraid to laugh. Woody Allen, who said, "If only God would give me some clear sign, like making a large deposit in my name at a Swiss bank." Or Robert Frost, who said, "Forgive, O Lord, my little jokes on thee, and I'll forgive thy great big one on me."
That's good.
This chapter,
there's lots of humor in thinking about the subject.
Chapter 18 is called The Book of Laughter.
And we also talked about, a teaser when we were going out on the last segment, was Marlene Dietrich, for example. What did she say about religion? Do you remember? She was an atheist. It was a book of her own.
I can't remember offhand, but I did decide to make a book for women only because so many... here's Marlene Dietrich's. It's a very long quote. "Back in my early childhood, I had learned that God doesn't fight on any army side, so there was little point in praying. Nonetheless, before every battle, prayers were read, all kinds of incantations were recited, staged by all sorts of preachers. We attended these ceremonies, and I saw how the soldiers stood in place as though they couldn't believe their ears. I couldn't believe it either, but I counted for nothing. Since then, I've given up any belief in God, in a light that leads us, or anything of this sort. Goethe has said, if God created this world, then he should review his plan."
Great quote. Goethe.
But I wanted a book of just women's quotes because they were so meagerly represented in the in the collection. I love this one from Gertrude Stein. "There ain't no answer. There ain't going to be any answer. There never has been an answer. That's the answer."
That's a great quote.
I love that.
And, of course, Margaret Sanger, "No gods, no masters."
Right. That one is a famous quote, and it appeared on the stationery of the movement.
The Woman Rebel was her newsletter. Well, this is a delightful book. It's like a little treasure to just thumb through and read this one and then read, go back to that one and then find out what... You know, there's a book of Bertrand, a bunch of Bertrand Russell quotes in here. Must have been an immense amount of work, and it's just lovely to
it
have.
It is a lot of work, but I have to say that I treasure these thematic quote collections on important ideas, because in today's very busy, overworked world with all kinds of distractions and information and data coming at us, I think that these ideas need to be preserved. And preserved in the short form allows people to pick it up and put it down and learn that there is a history and even trace the idea or the thinker further if they are so inclined and if they have the time. I'm working on a new one called You Don't Have to Be Buddhist to Know Nothing. And it's about nothing, mostly from Western writers. Nothing is a concept in Eastern thought because Eastern thought relies on or absorbs or incorporates paradoxical logic, which Western thought does not.
We are running out of time, but thank you so much for joining us, Joan Connor, and people can find your book at Bookstars, The Atheist Bible, an illustrious collection of irreverent thoughts, and also from FFRF.org. We should have that available next week. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Go to our website, ffrf.org/radio, for archive and podcast.
If you're a regular listener, we hope you'll get involved. We'll be back next week for more rational radio and blasphemous broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join us and the world.